We're continuing to talk about the inner man and outer man model as a way to see ourselves and to see how much is possible for every believer. I'm going to start with our core verses here in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we're focusing on this word transformation. And it says, be transformed. Now we know that the word transformation comes from a Greek word, metamorphoso. That's where we get the word metamorphosis, transformed. We know it in our world as like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And that is a metamorphosis, that it starts off as a caterpillar and it becomes a butterfly with wings. As a caterpillar, it doesn't have wings, but after it's transformed, it has wings and now it can fly. That's the best we can do in this world that we all know of. But in this scripture, it's really talking about going from a child of this world to being a child of God. And they're two different species. They're as different as light is from darkness. So this is quite a transformation. And so the picture, I believe, that he's telling us is to go travel, transform, and travel from thinking, feeling, seeing out of our outer man to thinking, seeing, and feeling and living God out of our inner man who's been born again. Our outer man was not born again. The inner man was born again. Throughout Scripture, we see different terminology, new man, old man, flesh, spirit. You see different terminology meaning the same thing. So there's a transformation here that Paul writes about that's part of our reasonable service to God. Now, let's read this again because we know, number one, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to believers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So we know he's talking to born-again believers. That's you and me. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is in reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the fact that he uses the word transformed, be ye transformed, to a believer means that as a believer, we start off, we must look at ourselves starting off as a caterpillar that's born again, going to heaven. But there is a transformation process that we need to go through before we can walk in all that God has for us. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the way a believer views this verse about transformation will determine their pursuit of God, how they pursue God, what they focus their energy on. And so this is a real key verse to learn what it means and try to understand it. There's all kinds of teachings. It's rather simplified for a lot of people when they say, well, you're already transformed. You just need to take the word of God, change the way you think, and then you will be transformed. And so the focus is changing the way you think. But in the picture of inner man and outer man, it's not changing the way you think. It's changing where you think from. That you begin to build up the knowledge of the inner man, and then you can begin to think from there rather than from the outward man. The outward man was not saved, the inner man was. The outward man's of Adam, the inner man's of God. So this picture of transformation tells us, number one, that when you're born again, you don't have it all. There's things you need to add to your life. There's a transformation that God wants to take place, where you begin to walk in who he made you rather than who your family made you. This transformation isn't just about changing coats. I'm going to wear a blue coat today and a red coat tomorrow. This is an actual transformation, a miracle process, a spiritual miracle process that's available for every believer. That means that if you get hold of this transformation process and let it take root in your life and take over your life, there's no limitations on you. In your natural family, you were born with a certain height, and the scripture says you can't even add one cubit. I don't know what a cubit is exactly, but you can't add to your height. You get what you get, pretty much. And we all have limitations in our mental ability, our athletic ability to a certain amount, our size, our shape, our looks. There's only so much that can happen to change who we are. And so when I look at the modern church, I see them take this verse at a very basic level. You're born again, now change your life. You used to go to the bar, now you go to the church. You used to go bet on sports, and now you go hand out tracts and win souls. You used to give your money to certain things, now you give your money to the church. And so you change your habits, you change your lifestyle to line up with what the God, Word of God says you can be. And so you go do those things to act like God wants you to act. And that's okay, because they're still going to get to heaven. But you'll find that in that path, there's a lack of many things that look like Jesus in the modern church. It's like we've taken the instructions and are trying to fulfill the instructions without understanding the instructions. But God's a father. He wants you to learn the principles, the reasoning, the understanding of why you can believe for things, why you can walk out things, and that there's no limitation. See, the inner man has been born of God. It is as righteous as God is righteous as Jesus is righteous, is born of God, birthed from God. And it contains a spiritual mind, emotions, and desires that are able to understand God, love like Jesus, and desire only the things of God. That is the picture of your inner man, but it's born like an infant. It has to develop and grow and mature. And to me, that is another way of saying transformation, that there is a way for you, no matter where you are, no matter your limitations from your past, from your mind, your ability to know, understand things, do not affect what God's birthed in you. What God's birthed in you is a new man, a new creature, a whole new creature. And you can develop that inner man to know the very mysteries of God, to understand the reasoning behind his decisions for your life. It makes sense to you when you can see it from your inner man's eyes. Your outward man will never understand it. That's why a lot of people think faith is just a blind walk of just jump off the cliff and do it. But God's a father. He wants to educate you, to help you to learn from him his truths. And when you see that you have an inner man with that ability, then you will be able to pursue that and pursue the love of God growing in you. Pursue that knowledge of God from God, because you realize, wow, I've been born with an intellect in my inner man that can understand the mysteries of God. Irregardless of my outward man's lack of ability, my inner man is no less than anyone else's, because I've been born of God, you've been born of God, we're children of God. So when he tells us believers, us brethren, to be transformed, that tells us, number one, that you don't get it all when you're born again. I'm saved, now I just have to walk it out. I just have to accept who I am now, believe it, and do it. There is a transformation process that is necessary for you and I to go through before we can ever embrace all that God has for us. This is a process. I want you to say that word, process. A lot of faith people don't like that word, process, because that's a word that means we have to go through something to get to somewhere. See, and there's a difference here. See, transformation isn't just about changing your thinking. It's about becoming who God has designed for you to be. It's not automatic. Your salvation by the new nature, that's automatic. You have the power to say no to sin, whereas before you were saved, you didn't because you had a nature of sin. Now you have a nature of righteousness. You can decide to be holy and act holy. But there's so much more available when you go down this world of transformation, where not only are you acting holy, which is the great start, but you actually begin to become holy, where it is who you are, not you choosing not to do something. It starts with the choice. And that's where, you know, when we get to things like ministering to people, loving people, speaking for God, teaching, I have the new model now, which says, can a caterpillar choose to fly? See, a caterpillar cannot choose to fly. It doesn't have wings yet. The process is quite ugly, actually, that the caterpillar builds a cocoon around it. And inside of that cocoon, the caterpillar dissolves. It dissolves into a mush. And then it has in it two DNA-type modules that rebuild all from the material that's there. It rebuilds it all, and it comes out of the cocoon as a butterfly. And that's a very natural process for a caterpillar because that was in its design. Every caterpillar is born to be a butterfly. Every butterfly is made a caterpillar designed to become a butterfly if it goes through the cocoon. Well, for us Christians, it's not quite like that because we are born of a natural world and with a spiritual inner man and a natural outward man that were all darkness. And then when we got born again, when we bowed our knees and accepted Jesus, he inserted a nature of righteousness. The new nature was inserted and he quickened the old nature and replaced it with a new nature of righteousness. That new nature is like a seed and it needed somewhere to grow. So it also brought to life, quickened our inner man. Now we have an inner man, an inner body, a new man that has the ability to grow in the wisdom of God, the actual wisdom of God, has the ability to love like Jesus, to have peace like Jesus, the same emotions that Jesus walked in. Your inner man has that ability. Your outer man does not. And so now you have the ability to transform your life, but it's not instant. That's why many people, they get saved and they think, well, I thought I was saved. How come I still have desires for sin? Or why am I still emotionally fragile or broken or prideful? Why did that not leave? Well, that's the outward man, the outward body, which contains the soul of the outward man. It hasn't been redeemed yet. It must be mortified or submitted to the inner man. But if your inner man stays like a baby and you don't let it grow, you don't press in to give it what it needs to grow and develop, you'll be one of those Christians that live your whole life ruled by the natural human body that you're wearing. And you'll bring it to church and do all those things and make it to heaven, but you'll never go through this process of transformation. So, number one, let's be clear. The fact that he uses this word transformation tells us that if we were to see ourselves as born-again believers under this picture of transformation, we're like a caterpillar with the potential to be a butterfly, but not yet a butterfly. We have to go through transformation. In other writings, Paul uses maturity, fruit, like a tree growing. Peter uses the maturity of a baby growing into a full-grown man. And we see all that pictures, different ways of looking at transformation, but the fact is, when you're born again, it's not as simple as, now that you're born again, you just have to believe the Word of God is true, and you can have everything you need. That's not a picture of transformation. Transformation says, I need to become something more. I need to become more that God has available to me. It's available to every believer. But if you don't put yourself on a life of transformation, you'll never experience this newness. Let's go to John chapter 8. And I'll start over here in verse 23. I'll start in verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, I go, you cannot come. And he says to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Jesus tells him, you're of this world, you're from beneath. I am from above, not of this world. It's heaven or a heavenly culture, whatever you want to call it. Jesus was from above, not from this earth. And so that brings us into a better way of seeing what transformation is. Most Christians in the modern church believe that I need to get rid of the good and bad. I've got good in my life, love, joy, peace, those are good emotions, and I got bad emotions, anger, jealousy, envy. So for me to be a good Christian, I need to get rid of the bad, and I focus on the good. And that's why you'll meet a Christian who's really good, really nice and loving, and then you do something they don't like, and all of a sudden you're shocked by the bad that's still in there. Where did that come from? Oh, they had a bad day. I remember telling that to Pastor Dave. I said, oh, that person just had a bad day, and that's why they were so mean. And Pastor Dave said, Alan, no, the nice one is the fake one. If you have the potential to be mean and envious, that's in there. That is who they are. They haven't dealt with it yet. And so many Christians, they get to this acting of, I'm going to act the good and squash the bad. But the real picture of transformation is not that I'm trying to clean myself up to where I'm more good than bad, but I'm actually being taken from what's above and getting rid of what is beneath, meaning everything of Adam, the good and the bad, the love and the hate, all is second class. And I must diminish that and begin to learn to receive from above his love, his joy, his peace, and replace the love, joy, peace that I have from my own earthly body. It's a much deeper way of looking at transformation. Let's go over to Colossians. We'll start in chapter 2, in verse 1. For I want you to know that a great conflict I have for you and those of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the fullness of the understanding, to the knowledge of the mysteries of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So there is a knowledge, a treasure of knowledge and wisdom that is hidden in God. You don't find it on the earth. And that's where a lot of the churches get in trouble, is because they use the Word of God as their staple. In 99% of the churches around the world, they'll use the Bible as their foundation. But the problem is they're misinterpreting the Bible, and they're using the Bible to bring out ideas and doctrines that may not be accurate, because they're using their natural ability to interpret the Scripture rather than allowing the Holy Ghost to bring knowledge from God to them. And that's where it tells us that knowledge is found in God. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. So there is a safety in learning your knowledge from above. Over here in chapter 3, verse 1. if you were raised with Christ, so if you're born again, wave your hand at me. Amen. Good job. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So there is a path here where we're supposed to not fix what our mama gave us, but we're supposed to build what God gave us from God and then transform over to that. The picture the Lord gave me, and I'll share it with you again, was that girl who was testifying about how good God was. And the Lord told me, spoke to me and said, I didn't tell my church to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform. And in that moment, I had a little mini vision. Now remember, any vision you have is fine, but it must be proven by the Word of God. It can't, you don't just live off of visions. And so in that little mini vision, I saw her, like a little glowing ball of light, leaping out of her natural body and leaping into her inner body. And that's what the Lord showed me transformation was in that picture, was not fixing up the outward man, but to build up the inner man. And then you begin to move over where you think from, where you feel from, where you live from the outward man to the inner man. Now, every believer that's born again, you still, even though you're saved, you still think and feel and everything out of your natural man. And so unless we work on transformation, you'll live your whole life there in your natural man's mind, emotions, and desires, trying to harness it, correct it, mold it into acting like a Christian, doing good works in the name of God, but never going to above and bringing that into your life. Always trying to reform and fix this outward man. But there's a path for every believer where we can actually love like Jesus with His love, agape love. We can have the peace of Christ. We can think and know God from God. And that's what he's saying here. If you were raised with Christ, verse 1, chapter 3, Colossians, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. See, we're to take our mind and fill it with things from above. We can read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, that the inner man is being renewed day by day. That's where the renewal takes place, in your spiritual mind, because it needs to be refilled with knowledge that comes from above and not just good knowledge about God. If then you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So instead of us thinking good and bad, for example, if you think about anyone you know in this world that's not born again, you can probably think of a mean one, just like you can think of a Christian that's a mean one. But you can find, and all of us know people that aren't saved, that aren't born again, but they are the most genuine, loving, giving, kind person you met. But they're not born again yet. So that is a love from beneath. That's the love of this earth. Now, a Christian isn't supposed to live there because they have that love of this earth. We're supposed to go to above and bring the love of Christ into us, which is a much higher love. And not just the love, the knowledge of God, to build up the inner man. The mind of the inner man has the ability to understand God and know God. The mind of the outer man does not. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is, or which is, renewed in knowledge. So the new man is where the knowledge is renewed from above, according to the image of him who created him. It's so powerful that when you're born again, you're not just asked by God, given a bunch of instructions by God and say, now I gave you a new nature, but you don't have the ability to fly. But just keep trying. Just keep trying. Just keep trying. He didn't just give us instructions how to go fly without first giving us a process to get wings so we can fly. And here in Colossians, he says, new man and old man. The old man is the natural body, the natural man that wasn't born again. That's where all these wrong desires come from, the soul of the outward man. But you have a new man. Every believer has a new man born of God that's not tied into their family, their earthly family, their earthly ability. It's tied into their heavenly Father where that new man was born from. And that's why it tells us, verse 9, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So you have an image of him called the new nature already in you, but now there is a process to put on the new man from the wisdom from above and to renew the knowledge in the new man. That's where the knowledge of God goes, in the new man. Every time you read the word, it travels through your natural mind, but it goes in, also is embedded in your spiritual mind. Your natural mind says, oh, I get it. I know what it means, but it doesn't. But your inner man always knows the truth, and that truth will build up in the inner man. Every time you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit leaves your understanding, your outward man's understanding, unfruitful, and pours into that inner man's mind truth and knowledge about who you are and how to walk it out. It's powerful. Put on the new man. So the modern church, most of the modern church anyway, their view of transformation is really changing their habits, changing their decision making. But there's such a bigger picture here. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I just want to show you the difference today, I think, of transformation versus conformity. Conformity is a picture of, now that you're saved, you need to act like it. You need to start acting like it. Start acting in love. Love your neighbor. And you need to act like it. And so you take actions of choice to look like, what would Jesus do? But the picture of transformation goes beyond that. That's a good start. Let me just pause here and make sure we're on the same page. It's a great start to act like the word says we can be. In other words, you can choose to love your neighbor. Do your best to love your neighbor, even if you want to punch them in the mouth. You should choose the moment you're saved to make holy choices and to remove unholy things from your life. It's a choice. You should make that choice. But transformation says, instead of just conforming to look like a Christian, to look like Christ, to dress like Christ, to act like Christ, you can actually become like Christ. In the same way that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, you can grow in wisdom and stature if you invest into that inner man. Conformity is when you conform, you mold yourself into what you think you should act like and do. And that's why you see so many Christians do great for a season, then kaput, they stumble. Something comes out of them they didn't realize. They hit their finger with a hammer and out comes a cuss word in front of everybody. It's like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Well, if you didn't mortify it, it's still there. And this was my early life as a Christian, constantly repenting and pursuing to be, act like I was supposed to. But transformation is so much deeper. So start with acting like Jesus, choosing good things. But if you live there, you're going to live there your whole life. And so you better keep on your guard. You can't take a break ever. You can't rest ever because you will go back to what's in there. But there's a path of transformation, which means you build up that inner man from above. And then as the inner man builds up, you'll find that that inner man will help confront the outer man for you. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm not really walking in love. My acts of love is really selfish. Why do you think almost every offering on television has to give you a promise of a return before you'll give? They keep saying, hey, if you want to have a new car, then you need to plant a seed of faith into my ministry quick while the anointing's on me, and you'll get a return. And so you're really not giving because you want to give as much as you're giving to receive. Well, a lot of Christians are like that too. They're acting in love, but really they're loving themselves through their act of love. But as your inner man grows, your inner man is perfect in righteousness and holiness. It will develop only in the things of God, and you'll find that you have this completely innocent, no motive, no selfishness, inner man, new man. You begin to put on that new man in your life and take off the old man. You'll begin to think differently, think from a different place, love from a different place, a place of true righteousness, of true sincerity. That's your inner man. And you have one, I have one. Every believer has a born-again inner man that must be developed and grow so that it can help you to take over from the leadership of the outward man. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start in verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So here, let's look at this verse. In every great house there are vessels of gold and silver. We know that as quality, costly, special, important, pure material, gold and silver. And then he mentions two other substances, but also of wood and clay. So we know wood and clay, you can go outside and you can find wood and clay anywhere you are. It's cheap, it's easy to find, it's of the earth. You pick it up, you mold clay, chop down a tree, you got wood. So he mentions two qualities of substances, gold and silver, wood and clay. And they are used for honor and dishonor. So he's being clear here that there's vessels of gold and silver that are used for honor. And then there's vessels like made of the material of things like wood and clay that are made for dishonor, dishonorable use. And they're both necessary in any great house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, preparing for every good work. That tells us that he didn't assign if you were a vessel of honor or dishonor. Because he tells us an opportunity for you to cleanse yourself or purge from yourself the things that are keeping you a vessel of dishonor. Now, I'm going to preach this today within the picture of transformation. Many in the church world are living a good life, doing their best to serve God, and God's pleased with anyone that's born again that's pursuing him. But there's a whole religion established on the carnal man where you learn to walk with God, serve God, know God, experience God, do things for God through your outward man, shining him up, cleaning him up in service of God, mainly because they don't know any better. This was me in my early years. Thank God for running into Pastor Dave Roberson. And I believe it was a divine thing that God arranged for me to learn a path of transformation through praying in other tongues. And he uses this word, therefore, if anyone purges himself or cleanses himself from the latter, verse 21, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master's work. So number one, we know here that he didn't assign you silver and gold or wood and clay. That's where he found you. But there is a way to cleanse yourself to become useful for the master, to become honorable. Many Christians are living a life where they think cleaning themselves is like getting some dish soap and scrubbing away the dirt and the grime, the bad things. You know, that's the people who think being a better Christian is a difference of good and bad. Whereas in transformation, I see things as a difference between above and below, heavenly or earthly. There's an earthly good and there's a heavenly good, which is a million times, a billion times, 100 billion, trillion, quadrillion, zillion times stronger, more potent than what you can find on this earth. So we know that God didn't choose if you were a vessel of honor or dishonor, but we know there is a process. He calls it purging and cleansing, where you can cleanse yourself of dishonor and cleanse and become honorable, useful for every good work. But it's not a cleansing like a washing with soap. I want you to see this difference, and hopefully it'll emphasize the importance of transformation. In every great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some with honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses or purges himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So under the conforming type Christianity, cleansing means getting some dish soap and washing off the bad things. I no longer cuss. I say praise God. I act better. I go to church instead of the bar. They cleanse their life of the bad things, but they emphasize the good things. This is when someone was frustrated with me preaching about dying to self, dying to the old man, because they didn't understand the transformation I was preaching. They thought I was just telling them not to live. Like, when do I get to live, Alan? Don't you know God gave me those emotions for me to enjoy them? God gave us emotions to enjoy them. So I shouldn't be living my life with the joy and living my life for happiness today. I understood where they're coming from. They didn't know where they were coming from. They were defending the outward man so they wouldn't have to crucify the outward man. And my answer was, no, you think I'm talking about dying to something important. But no, I'm talking about dying to the counterfeit, the cheap version of yourself. The outward man, the earthly man, is a cheap version of who you can be. But now that you're born again, there's a beautiful, incredible, genuine child of God there that wants to grow. But you can't grow until you kill the outward man. A seed can't come forward until the outward shell is broken. The outward man must be broken so the inner man could come forward. And so many Christians are trying to clean up their outward man. But look at this picture. When he says cleanse and purge and purify, whatever Bible you're using, therefore if anyone cleanses, purges, or purifies himself from the latter. See, that's not washing and cleaning. Because look at the difference. The gold and silver represent the honorable vessels. That's a very expensive material, okay? A pure material. The wood and clay represent the dishonorable vessels. It's a different material. So when he tells us to cleanse, he's not saying to wash with soap. He's saying to go from being a vessel of clay, made of clay, of earthly, to go into become a vessel of gold. You're actually changing the quality, the vessel. The vessel is changing from clay to gold. It's not just cleaning. We have vessels in our house. We have two examples, as Christy brings out every Christmas, you know, all of our nice china plates for fancy dinners when we have guests over. And the soup goes into the nice vessel. I mean, it's a beautiful soup bowl. But we have another vessel of dishonor in our house called the toilet. It's a vessel. It's necessary, but it's a toilet. It's not pretty. It's a vessel of dishonor. Now, what I could do is say, hey, you know, we broke the glass bowl for our soup, but, you know, I cleaned out the toilet really well. I scrubbed it really good with bleach and cleaned it. It's sparkling clean, and it already has water in it. So I just had to put all the ingredients in it, and now just take your bowl and go dip out some soup in my clean toilet bowl. Well, I guess we could do that, but that vessel is made for dishonor. It will only be used for dishonor in my house. So it's not about becoming cleaner. Transformation is about changing, transforming from one material of dishonor to a material of honor. And this is a great picture to me of the inner man and outward man. Once you're born again, you're like a caterpillar. And you're stuck as a caterpillar unless you go through a transformation stage of your life. And in that transformation stage, you know, you won't just talk about flying. You won't just dream about flying. When you emerge from your cocoon, you'll have wings and you will fly because you have become a butterfly. That is the importance of that word in Romans 12. Be ye transformed tells us that you're not born again complete. You're born again with everything you need to transform into who God wants you to be. But if you don't focus on transformation, you'll always stay a caterpillar talking about flying. But if you allow yourself to go through that cocoon, I like to preach the cocoon as being my prayer closet, a place where I pray in tongues, I worship God, I seek God's face, my study of the word, confession of the word. In those times, I'm in a cocoon and God is helping me to transform, to rebuild who I was. I was Alan of this earth, limited in my ability to understand, my ability to do things as a vessel of dishonor. And when I became born again, my inner man came to life. The new nature brought to life this inner vessel, this new man, and I can put him on. It doesn't happen just by osmosis, by going to church 50 years. It doesn't happen by you having hands laid on you. This has to be found in your cocoon. And I'm able to build up Alan through praying in tongues, the spiritual man, the real me, the inner man, the new man. And as he grows, because I pray and worship, that's the nutrients to take the image of Christ forward into my inner man. I'll find the love of Christ will begin to rise up in me, and I'll soon be able to dismiss the love of the earth, earthly Alan, and dismiss it and say, that's lower class. There's a more excellent class, a more excellent way, and this love is higher. Why don't you love from here? My thoughts, my ideas, my theology of God, my natural man tries to understand it, but it can't ever really get it. But my inner man and your inner man has the ability to take knowledge from God, hidden knowledge that's hidden in God, and through praying in tongues, he'll bring it forward into your spiritual mind and renew that knowledge in your new man. It will come forth and build truth, a heavenly truth, a pure truth, honorable truth. And soon it will begin to confront the almost truth, the wrong truths about God, about you as a person, and begin to disrupt your life. And soon you'll be thinking out of that new man from above instead of trying to refix this outward man. He's going to replace it anyway when the trumpet sounds. Let's pursue our cocoon, and everything will come out of that. Seek God. What's wrong with seeking God? I don't understand. I don't understand why many believers, I do understand, but I don't get it. Why many believers who are anxious to go do things for God, be used of God, belittle the message of going to your prayer closet, of praying in tongues, worshiping God, reading your word, confessing the word. Don't need to waste time on those things. We just need to go do it. Well, you'll always be a dishonorable vessel unless you do the things to transform, not just clean up, to transform from one material to another. And this is available for you. Doesn't matter how rotten the old man is. The new man's of God, and there's no limitation. Nothing is impossible for God through you, in you. Let's seek his face. Let's seek this path of transformation and watch the love of Christ take over your life, the knowledge of God take over your life. And soon you'll be thinking differently. Everyone's going to wonder what's wrong with you. Why are you not thinking like me? This is how I would fix it. Because you're thinking from a different place. I love you, and I always appreciate you taking the time to let me teach these things. It gets better. We're going deeper, and I'll see you again soon. God bless you.